I'm feeling a little bit on a roller coaster ride, a little bit of emotional here and there. Anybody here with me on that, with the news? Yeah. So in reverence, not in irreverence, in reverence, I actually ask you to move your body a little bit, to move through your shoulders, whatever you can move without hurting yourself, because some of us, right, our bodies. Right. I don't know Reverend Carol that well, but I do know, right, that she is a loving person, and she is also somebody who laughs. Does anybody know her as a laugher? Right? Okay. So that my guess is that she would want us, right, to also remember, even if in our sadness, right, that we can move, we can sing, we can laugh. So you won't betray the sadness by also being here, present now, for what we're doing, because what we're doing is important. This stewardship, this way of sustaining this community so that we can rise up and be there for people in their losses. That's what we're here, really. I mean, I'm going to give you this little sermon, mini sermon, but that's really what we're here about, is sustaining this place, not so you can have this awesome food, but that is one of them, right? But so that we will continue to be here, standing on the shoulders of our forebears who saw this place in the mid-50s and said, we need this place. This place is needed in the community, and we want to see it going forward. There are people generations from now who are counting on us to say, because we know this place is necessary. So, Doug, thank you for that reading. And it might have come out of nowhere from you. I've been reading this book. It's called Braiding Sweetgrass, Indigenous Wisdom, Scientific Knowledge, and the Teachings of Plants. It's by Robin Wall Kimmerer. She's Potawatomi. She's a botanist. She teaches environmental and forest biology at State University of New York. She's a poet. She's a compelling storyteller, and I have been listening to her read her own book, because when I'm driving, that's what I do. That's the only way I get novels anymore, right? And I can't tell you, every chapter, I want to write a sermon for you on it. It's so compelling. So the story I'm going to tell you today is about a field trip. It's actually literally a marsh trip, but, you know, a field trip that she takes with her students. It's 5 weeks away from the wired world. Can anybody imagine that? Some of us can, right? We didn't grow up wired. 5 weeks away from the wired world, it's a graduation requirement, and it's the chance to transform these students into field biologists. And as part of this annual expedition, they build a roundhouse as their shelter and classroom. And they do it not because they bring a kit that they bought at Home Depot out to the field, out to the marsh, but they do it building it based on what they find there. And so they build the frame from saplings that they bend, but the next step on their, they have to go shopping. And the shopping trip is not to a big box retailer, but to the cattail marsh. And that's where Doug's reading came in. And Kimmerer does actually compare the cattail marsh to Walmart, but only in that they both sprawl over acres of land. So these budding field biologists are a little bit reticent. They're like, seriously, we're going to a cattail marsh? What are we going to get done there? But they are persuaded by their visit, because there they find fibrous rhizomes, right, at the bottom, underneath the water, in the soil, that taste like potato. They're edible roasted. It can be a porridge. It can even be made into flour. There they also find in the leaves that it's one of the easiest, most abundant sources to make twine. And at the many bottoms of the layers of leaves, there's a slime. Ooh. Except for it's antimicrobial. And it soothes the sunburn that comes from a day of harvesting on the marsh. There's a spongy material, there's a waxy material, both of which serve the plant well, but also serves humans who harvest it. because it's a superb water repellent when that's what your the outer part of your shelter is. It insulates as well. Plus, it's a little bit of a cushion when you sleep on it. And under those leaves and the slime and the spongy material and the waxy outer coating, there is a white pith. And apparently, sometimes it's called Cossack's asparagus. Has anybody ever heard of that? Cossack's asparagus. And it tastes, so the book says, I don't know this, like cucumber. Okay. So that's a short list. It doesn't even include that the cattails themselves can be dipped in fat and then act as torches, bringing light, or that the pollen can be captured and is apparently an awesome source of protein. All of this. So by the end of this shopping trip, nobody thinks they went to Walmart, but there is a joke about being at Walmarsh. This is our work, to discover what we can give. Isn't this the purpose of education? To learn the nature of our own gifts and how to use them for good in the world? That's what Robin Wall Kimmerer asks. So more and more, folks often choose their religious affiliation rather than inherit it. How many of you are practicing the religion that you inherited from the family you grew up with? Some of you. How many of you have kind of moved away from what you grew up with? Okay. So out of this change in our religious landscape comes the notion of church shopping. Church shopping, right? So you go out for some temporary period of time and you discern. You have a spiritual longing that you need to be filled, maybe a wish for community, and you go shopping, visiting several congregations, possibly several denominations, to see what is on offer. And some people do it their whole lives, never choosing one place to get to their religious and spiritual needs met, never setting roots or rhizomes, never making a commitment of reciprocity to one place. But there are others, and I'm guessing many of you here, if not most of you, there is a process of discernment, and that's what I'd rather call it than church shopping. And then you decide. You choose a place. And here you are, in your chosen spiritual home, done with your shopping, at least for now. And it is time to follow what Kimmerer calls the precepts of the honorable harvest. Those precepts are to take only what is given, to use it well, to be grateful for the gift, and to reciprocate the gift. And these precepts are a sermon in and of themselves. They're probably even a whole spiritual practices class. But today, I want us to focus just on that last one. Reciprocating the gift. Because that is what we are doing this morning. And not just thank you for the amazing breakfast, or thank you to Paula and Bob and Doug, on whose shoulder this event this morning has rested. Thank you for the gift. We are here to figure out how we can reciprocate the gifts we have been given in the past by this congregation, how to reciprocate the ones we have been given in this moment, shared laughter, shared grief, pride, joy at having Ryan and his entourage sing for us. Let's hope they make another showing at some point. That chance to strengthen shared purpose. And also how to reciprocate the gifts that will be given and received in the months, years, decades to come. What in our shared life is the cattail torch that shines the light in the darkness? Is it our chalice? Or the words and music we share in this space that we make holy by our gathering week after week? What is the slime factor? Come on, let's be real. There's slime in living together. Ooh, and then, ah. It happens. And it's different for each one of us. If we can get through the slime to the, we are doing really well in congregational life. That's covenant. What's the surprising pith that after the persistent peeling away of layers, then refreshing nourishment, could it be the chance to be whole and holy, seen for who you are, loved for who you are by a whole people? It is up to us to recognize the gifts we receive here, the ones that we're looking for, and the ones that catch us by surprise and we're like, no thanks, but you got to take it anyway. And then act on that last precept. Reciprocate the gift. Reciprocate in a variety of ways, like Kimmerer's students did, all those creative ways to thank the cattail marsh, protecting it, advocating for it, growing appreciation in others. But also in that very specific way that is our focus today, through financial stewardship, bound by a covenant of reciprocity that ensures that this place not only survives, but thrives. This is our work to do together, to discover what we can give. Isn't that the purpose of church? To learn the nature of your own gifts? And how to use them for the world for good? May it be so.